5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Tech Talk for another week. I am Stephen Scott. You know, I do love doing this show with the guys because we just have such a laugh and a carry on. It's just a one big family here. Yes. Robin Christofferson's from AbilityNet, and he's with us every week. Hello, Robin.
Hello. It's me again.
Yes. Well, I know, because you're always Robin Christofferson, unless there's another Robin Christofferson who works at AbilityNet who happens to be here every week. But if not, then it's you.
Might be better.
Welcome. Oh, come on. Here we go. Looking for sympathy and, you know, praise before we even start. Andy Wynn's also here. Hi, Andy. Emails, Andy.
Hello. How are we all?
Oh, fine. Yeah, you sound very happy. We'll find out why and smash that out of you before the end of the show.
Because we have a special guest.
Oh, is that what it is? You got a special guest?
I'm all giddy.
Are you all agog? Yes, good. Well, let's talk about our special guest, because this week we have no Tim. Tim is not well this week. Tim is suffering from the same problems I've had, which was after getting the vaccine, as he and his lovely wife Jennifer did. They unfortunately have fallen foul of some of the side effects that go along with it, and I know only too well about that, having gone through that pretty much all of last week. The good thing is I never complain. So, you know, there was no chance any of the guys here would have heard me talk about this. I would never have gone on about it or mentioned it at all. So, you know, Tim is off just being quiet and, you know, doing what I did last week, which was just say nothing about it, be quiet and calm and relaxed. And, you know, you guys, well, you didn't even need to ask if I was okay because you just assumed I was. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. But in his place this week, we couldn't get anybody else. So Sean Preece is here. Hi, Sean.
Hey, I'm back. The black sheep of the family. Hello. How is everyone? I can't believe you, Stephen. You can say that with a straight face. I'm just recovering myself from the graphic detail of your side effects.
But, hang on. I can give you another line in with a straight face as well. Do you want this? Ready for this? Okay, here's a good line for you. It only cost me £50 on Amazon. I got it in a sale. I've used that one a few times. That works as well.
What are you saying, Stephen?
You can take from that whatever you like. Yeah. I'm just telling you what I say. That's my lovely wife.
Partner.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. My wife just always says, yeah, right. So much to talk about this week. And look, first off, I've got to say, I hope Tim gets better soon. I know you will, Tim. It will pass. But yeah, some of the side effects of this vaccine can be not much fun. But it's like I said last week, and I've been saying on the Daily Connect over the past 5 days, and actually 6 days I said it, and I mentioned it on several other shows as well. In fact, I have been talking about it quite a lot now I come to think about it. But yeah, what I would basically say is for the gain, it is definitely worth the pain. No shadow of a doubt. So if you're going along to get your vaccine, don't be put off by any of these side effects, because equally you might have no side effects. Any of you guys had your vaccines yet?
No, we're too young and sprightly.
I have. Yeah. I have, and I was rough.
Were you? But yeah. With tiredness, kind of just feeling a bit weak and yucky and...
fatigue. Yeah, weak and yucky.
Yeah, yep. That's kind of where I was as well. I only really kind of started feeling better on Sunday. That was the first day I started to kind of feel, and actually I celebrated by watching a movie on Amazon called Greenland, which if you haven't seen is kind of worth watching. It's one of those typical popcorn movies. A comet is racing to the Earth and everyone will die. And Gerard Butler will save us all. So yeah, it was one of those. It's actually quite good, to be honest. One of those, you would definitely go and see it in the cinema, but now we just don't have a cinema anymore. So
you just watch
everything's DVD.
Whatever you can find on Netflix or Disney Plus or...
This audio described.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty much how it works. Yeah, you just go through the list of shows, don't you? I mean, we talked about Calls last week. Did we talk about Calls last week? Am I getting mixed up with another show? I can't remember.
Maybe on your other show, yeah.
Yeah, I do talk about it everywhere, but I don't know if I mentioned it. If I didn't, you know, if you haven't watched Calls... Oh, you've got to watch Calls.
You've been telling me to do this. You have to watch this show. I'm like, I'm very intrigued now, because it's not very often I get recommended TV shows from Stephen.
No, well, I'm not, but I don't watch a lot of TV as much as I think I watch a lot of TV, but I actually don't. And I certainly don't watch a lot of movies, because anytime anybody says to me, oh, have you seen this film? No. I guarantee you, name it, I won't have seen it. Apart from Greenland on Amazon Prime, seen that. But other than that, nothing. Yeah,
but Calls is amazing. Everyone should give that a go. It's very much audio focused, and it's
audio
on Apple TV. No, it's not audio only, because you know there are
some spirally,
yeah, some
stuff on the
weird graphics on the screen. But it's all about the phone calls you're listening in on. It's good. It's like a Twilight Zone stroke car thing. It's cool.
Yeah, not one to watch at night. watching at night, and I actually thought, I'm going to have a heart attack again. It was so intense at points, but it did level off at the end, thank goodness. But yeah, it's worth it. It's only 15 minutes an episode as well. I think that's been deliberate, because I think that a lot of excited people have told me that I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this if you watch it, Andy. A lot of people have said they really struggled to watch it because they really had to listen so intently. Which, you know, for us blind folk, it's like, yeah, we know. That's our life. But, you know, a lot of sighted people are like, it's really hard to you know, keep focus on this thing. So, anyway, you can tell us your thoughts if you've watched it, and you can let us know if you get around to watching it, Andy. It's well worth checking out.
Will do.
It's on Apple TV Plus. And, yeah, it is... it is audio described, although it kind of does benefit from that, because I guess there are a few things on screen, like names of people talking and stuff. But yeah, anyway, check it out. Greenland's good as well, if you like a disaster film. As if the world's, you know...
Have we got any actually nice family movies we can recommend? Or is it all disaster and doom?
Pretty much disaster and doom. Well, I mean, what else is there, let's be honest?
I watched My Fair Lady the other day. That was good.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, well done, Robin.
The rain on plane stays mainly on the plane.
Just like Sound of Music, it actually had an interval halfway through.
Yeah, that's right.
You've seen
movies used to do that.
Curtains where it says intermission and some music.
Did you rush off to the toilet and everything?
Buy some popcorn.
Get some popcorn. Oh, we're making the same joke.
It was one I watched once. I think it was A Star Is Born. I can't remember. One of those really old films that had been around forever. And it was years ago I'd seen it. And I remember watching it, I think with my gran at the time. She had it on like BBC Two matinee on a Sunday or whatever. And in the film, there were points where the whole screen just went static as if something had happened to the picture. And I remember someone telling me, yeah, that's because they hadn't enough money. I don't think it was A Star Is Born. Maybe it was in that era, though. And they couldn't afford to finish it. They didn't have enough money to make the film. So they just had still images up halfway through the film. I was like, really? That can happen?
No, I think that was your nan's TV.
No, it wasn't A Star Is Born.
It was just a picture book.
No, I'm absolutely certain it wasn't A Star Is Born, but there was a film around that era. And it apparently was quite common at the time that if they couldn't afford to finish it, or they couldn't afford to do the scenes they needed to do, they would just put up still images. So just have the sound, which is amazing.
That never happened. That's just your nan.
Sounds like you've got a pirate version.
I'm telling you.
A Star Is Born Glasgow edition.
That means the BBC got a pirate version, not me, because I was watching it on the telly. Or maybe somewhere on the telly. I don't know. What do I know? Look, just because I think it's a fact doesn't mean it's a fact, all right? We're through the looking glass on facts now anyway. Who cares? Anyway. Look, I wanted to start the show off about a year ago with this idea about talking around working while overwhelmed. Now, this can apply to anything, quite frankly. It doesn't have to apply to work. I'm just mentioning it because it's my own experience this week where I've come back in, and I'm part-time here at RNIB. Some would say I've been that way for many years. But, you know, I'm part-time here. And, you know, when you come off a week, which you finish on the Wednesday afternoon, say 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or whatever, and then you don't touch your email inbox again for another, you know, few days. And you come back on the Monday morning and it is just full of emails and you've got tons of stuff you need to work through. And, you know, last week I wasn't feeling great, so I think a lot of things clearly slipped through the cracks. And today I thought, right, I've got to sort this. I've got to spend my time sorting out this inbox. Now, we're recording this on the Monday, of course. This goes out on the Tuesday. And today, I spent the whole day, you know, pretty much most of the day anyway, trying to organise everything out. And it was getting a little bit overwhelming. You know, and we've all felt it. You come back from a holiday and you've got all these emails. And the temptation, I make the joke in often meetings, I'll say, just go in and delete the lot. If it's that important, they'll come back. And I kind of make that joke. And I've done it. I have done that. But you can't really do that, Robin, can you, when you come back, as much as you'd like to?
Well, I mean... That frankly horrified me, the prospect of doing that. And I actually got a really nice offer for something that, like an honour bestow, you know, like a, well, anyway, I'm not, maybe when it comes into fruition, I'll mention it. But I would have missed that completely.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
That lordship come through, has it?
Well,
Oh.
Not quite the same, but anyway. Oh. So, yeah, ooh, I mean, that's just not replying to people. It was an honorary doctorate.
Oh, yeah, you're Dr. Robin now. Yeah,
Lord Doctor.
Lord Doctor. Doctor of what?
Anyway.
He can't talk about it. It's
moving
secret.
On, moving on.
No, you've got to tell us now.
Doctor of Accessibility. Yeah,
I'll tell you when it's official.
Well, so it's not official. It's not a proper doctor. Well, right, okay.
Kind of got the count.
Like a doctor of plants or something. It's something like that, or letters.
Doctoring.
Doing the dictionary.
Documents. Right. No, I don't know. So I know exactly what you mean, though. If I have a week off, or even less than that, I work really hard preparing for it, kind of preparing the way, tying up loose ends and that sort of thing. And then when you come back, you're just overwhelmed by the amount that you have to get through, and that's a really awful feeling too. So you kind of pay for it when you take time off, and that, you know, I'm sure it's the same for you guys. It's just really it almost, you know, as if it kind of isn't worth taking the time off for the stress that it gives you.
That's right,
either side of it,
especially when you're working from home, right? I mean, when you're right now, especially that we're all at home all the time, so when people say, oh, take a holiday, you think, what's the point? Really, I mean, what is the point of having a holiday at this point? Because to be honest, I'm just going to sit downstairs, watch the telly. And yeah, that all sounds lovely. And some people, and I know some people just long for that. They just need that break. I just find the break gets me more stressed. I think I need to get things done because I just know it's all mounting up behind me. And I just think I can't handle that.
Isn't that the thing? No, it's all about this, your state of mind, isn't it? It's the pressure you're putting on yourself half the time. Like, you know, oh, I'm feeling guilty because, you know, I've got a stack of emails to get through. Whereas in real terms, you just go through one at a time and you get it done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, true. It's the pressure that you're putting on yourself. It just seems over. See, my girlfriend always says to me, don't put too much on my plate because I feel overfaced. And I say, that's not a thing. I've never felt overfaced, like there's too much food on my plate, I can't even eat it. I've never felt that in my life. And I say it's the same.
Is this metaphorical or is this?
It's a thing. I don't know if it's a northern thing or what, but yeah, you overfaced. I've never felt that. The more stuff on my plate, the better. See, because you just go through one chip at a time, and it's the same for emails. Thank you. You're welcome. I'm like a life coach.
Yeah, like a guru sitting there. If Colonel Sanders was a guru, you would be a guru.
The elephant one bite at a time.
Oft. Oh, I thought you were. Ooh, oh, I see. Right. I thought you were suggesting. Yeah.
Dr. Rob.
Yeah. The doctor will see you now.
I mean, that's a brilliant trick if you can do it.
Yeah.
Not feel overwhelmed because, you know, you're hacking away at stuff. The stuff that needed to be done at, you know, the end of last week, there's more emails coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for me, that isn't a pleasant feeling. So, well, yeah, look, probably like mindfulness and meditation.
Who's got time for that? No, listen, you know what? What you need is organization. That is what you need. And this is what I've been telling myself. I know last week, and it's funny because last week I just didn't feel myself at all. I was just feeling yucky and horrible the whole week. And now I'm out of that. Today, I just thought, right, I've got to grab this by the horns. How would you grab an email inbox by its horns? I don't know. I'll think of something better than that at another time. Grab it by the inbox or whatever, I don't know.
Box has flaps.
Well, there you go. Well, let's not, yeah. But
believable. I'm a medical man.
Exactly, yeah, from a man of the doctorate. But yeah, it just seems, it can feel overwhelming. And look, I'm not one to complain. So for that reason, I thought we should come up with some tips and some ideas. Because this isn't just for people who are working, right? This can be for anybody. We all have a point in our lives where things just get on top of us. And it can be anything, right? I mean, it could be the washing up. Or, you know, clothes around the house. It can be anything at all. Just things can build up to a point where you just feel, I can't tackle this. It's just so overwhelming. But this is a tech show. We're not going to tell you how to fix your washing. But what we can talk about is the tech side of things, especially from either the work or the computer, getting emails, dealing with stuff. And that's what I wanted to focus on this week, because there's a couple of tips I learned along the way. A couple of them actually from our Robin here, Dr. Robin, who has basically given me some great advice over time. One thing which I must admit, people say it all the time, make lists, make lists. And you go, yeah, make a list. Yep. The problem with a list is that, for me anyway, you know, it's been finding an app. So that I am a, Sean knows this because I was talking about this with you last week, but I am the worst procrastinator in the world. And here's how my brain works. So Robin would say to me, make a list. So what I think is, oh, well, I need to find an app. So I then go on the hunt for an app, which then means I'm not writing a list. I'm spending time trying to find an app to make a list. And then I realize that none of the apps work and they're all terrible and they're not accessible and they don't work and they're not within the workflow that I need. So you end up getting hung up on that. Still, there's a big pile of things piling up behind. So what I decided was, from Robin's suggestion, actually, which was use Notepad on the PC. Now, look, if you're on a phone, I'm sure there may be simpler equivalents. I've not found taking notes on an iPhone particularly great. I know there's apps for it, but they're not ideal for me. But I just use Notepad. It's a very simple thing. I use it for all my to-do stuff for work. I find it really simple. Text editing on a PC, it's the easiest way to do it using Notepad because it's such a simple little app. There's nothing to it. It's just text. So your machine will never slow down, no matter what PC you're using. You'll find that it works great. The other thing for me is around emails. And again, this was a Robin idea. These were the two that I really stole from him, which have been brilliant for me. And again, I put it into action today. Was just set up a folder on your machine somewhere, call it to-do, and what you do is, if you're going through your email inbox, you know that thing where you'll sometimes keep an email and you'll say, I'll come back to that one later. But you never do, because you end up at the top of the list and everything else buries it. So you can actually just save the email or the contents of the email. You could just copy and paste them out to your to-do document, or just save the email itself into a folder. I didn't know you could do that until Robin told me.
Yeah, I mean, it's even
this.
Easier than saving. You're in your inbox. You highlight it on the one you want. This is in Outlook. Mm. I don't know if it works with others. Yeah, just do Control-C, go to your folder, Control-V, and it'll save it as a .msg. And the really good thing about that is that when you hit enter on it, you know, it's that exact same email. So it's got the to, the, you know, all the other details, the thread, whatever it might be. So, yeah, I mean, Outlook's a beast. And there are loads of other areas in Outlook that, you know, there is a to-do list, etc. But I found that, anyway, the easiest way to keep track of an email that, you know, maybe you want to save for another time. Because your inbox can have dozens, if not hundreds, of emails in. And all the ones towards the top can be the ones that have been there for a long time because, you know, they have a long time frame. Mm. Maybe, you know, it's about an event coming up in June or something.
That's right.
So, yeah, move them somewhere else and you will feel that little bit less daunted by your inbox.
It's almost like you're not using a lot of these big fancy tools because there's so many tools there that can help you. And there's, you know, as you say, Outlook has lots of things in it. But some of that can just be a little bit overwhelming. There's a lot to get your head around. And I think sometimes just keeping it simple is the best way. And this is what I loved about this was you can just, as you say, just copy the email straight into a folder. You can then delete it. That's what's brilliant about it. You can delete it out of the inbox. So you can get that email inbox down to zero, which is often the challenge. It's like whack-a-mole, isn't it? Trying to keep on top of all these emails. What about you, Sean? Have you used anything like this? Or have you done anything like this to try and keep on top of things?
I'm waiting for the punchline because you know I am terrible at responding to emails. And it's exactly that. You know, I will look through my inbox and I'll think, okay, got to respond to that one. And I checked the other day because I missed an email from someone and I had four or five drafts going on where I thought I had actually sent them and I hadn't.
They were just there. Writing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I must have thought I need to check something and come back to it. Never did. So I really like that copy and paste for emails. I didn't know you could do that.
So simple.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Notepad thing, that's what I've started using as well. And I always have used it, but I ended up with, you know, new text document 22.txt on my desktop. I've got loads of them. So now I just have one called notes.txt. And for any note I'm doing, you know, can you do this for me or whatever, I just open that up, make a quick note and close it again. So I've got one text file with everything in. So it is all about organization, but you know, I just don't think you need to beat yourself up quite so much. It is difficult, but these tips do help.
But there is
I totally agree.
But there is a feeling, though, isn't there, of getting on top of it. And when, I mean, today I must have spent about 3-4 hours just on the email inbox, hammering it down, sorting out the to-dos, going back and making sure that, you know, what needed to be done was done. It is about keeping focus. It's difficult, though. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people say this, Andy, don't they, about working from home, the challenge of keeping focus. I mean, I have deliveries coming. I mean, today, I think we had 4 almost in a row. And you're just sitting down to do something, and then it's like, oh, the door's going again. Oh, there's the door again. and just goes on. And it's so hard to keep focus.
You know what mine was today? Was like I realised after a couple of hours work, oh, I had nothing in for lunch. Right, I'll just go out and get some lunch then. And then you come back and, yeah, things can get back on top of you again. You know what your problem is, though, Stephen, is you have the fear of missing out.
FOMO.
You can't switch off. So you when you had your week off, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? You still get that sort of feeling of like, oh, should I go in and just answer a few emails or should I go in and just do a little bit of work here and there? And this is a problem with working from home is you don't switch your phone off. You don't switch your PC off. It's always there lurking in the background. You're like, I could just do a little half an hour here or there. This is the problem.
Yeah, it is. And you know, even things like, I mean, there's an interesting tip as well. You know, I have all my email accounts on one phone. I do have, for example, an RNIB work phone. I switch that off at night. The problem is, and I must go and do this. This is one thing I must do, is I've got call wait, or not call waiting. What do you call it? Call
forwarding.
Yes, call forwarding. Thank you. Where, you know, it's forwarding it to the other phone. So even though that phone's off, if I get a call, it'll still come through. emails are on there. So I'm still getting my emails anyway. So, I mean, really, yeah. I could never turn that phone on again and I'd still get all the same information. And it is important maybe to, and I do this on holiday. I've always done this when I've gone on actual holiday. Remember those days? Actual holidays, like not in the house. And, you know, I used to, you know, always take my accounts and switch them off, go into, and a lot of people don't realize you can do this. You can go into the phone and you can go to the accounts and you can actually switch off the mail so that you won't get any email. You won't have access to any of the email, nothing. And that is quite good because, I mean, you do get a ping on your phone and you do get something. You know it's not relevant to work. And you kind of have to know. And I feel sometimes with all the tools that are coming out around screen time, around watching how long our kids spend on these devices, I think that's important. I think the same kind of tools need to come out for, you know, it would be great if you could just say, right, I'm on holiday at this point, so switch everything off. And, you know, set up a routine for that or set up some kind of shortcut for that. Maybe you can, I don't know. But, you know, I think something should be built in that says, you know, I'm off now. I'm out of here. So, you know, leave me alone.
Button,
yeah, exactly.
Just
that's right.
Turn things off.
Exactly. Which is why I never wanted a phone that had dual SIM in it. As much as I loved the idea of one phone for everything.
Yeah.
That meant that everything was with you all the time. So you're standing there on your cruise ship, you know, beautiful Mediterranean day. And then suddenly it's like, bing bong. Oh, great. What now? You know, something's gone wrong at work and you're suddenly focused back into it again. Yeah.
There's a problem with mentality of people in the workplace as well is that modern software now will tell you if someone has set their out of office. So if I'm pinging someone an email, it will usually tell me before I've even clicked send, you know, when I've put the person's address in, oh, this person's not going to be back until next week or two weeks from now. In that case, we need to change the mentality of let's not send that person an email, right? So the only emails when you get back from your holiday will be the round ones for your whole team or your whole office or the whole organization. And 9 times out of 10, you can delete those straight away anyway because it's just...
It's past.
It's already gone or it's just introducing you to something that happened last week. So in which case, then when people know you're back in the office or back at your desk doing work, that's when they can start sending personal emails again. So it's a mentality thing as well with your other colleagues.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I'm guilty of that because I just did the very thing today. I knew someone was going to be back on the 6th of April, so I sent them an email today so that they could read it on the 6th. Of course, the joke is it'll probably be buried under everything else that they've got on top by that point.
So why don't we have a bit of software that sends these emails but then holds them until the person comes back at their desk and then five minutes after nine on a Monday morning, ping, 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 ping. All of these emails come through.
The poor guy has a heart attack with all the emails that just drop into his inbox. Oh, this all seemed really clear at 10 to 9. By 5 to 9, I had 800 emails. I mean, isn't there an option, though, you can send later now with Outlook? You can actually send an email later. You don't have to send it now. Is that right?
I don't know.
I've never seen that button, but I only ever just do the hotkey to send it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of not using the priority flag.
Who does?
Well,
I don't use it, I must admit.
So if something's urgent, I'll actually put urgent in the subject line, which, you know, there is a hotkey for changing the priority. So, you know, that might be one way if you want to send it now. But, you know, when they're sort of looking down their inbox and becoming traumatized when they've come back after a week off, they can at least ignore the ones that are low pri. So, yeah.
I use the flags and I use the category tags as well. So you can
color-code
my emails.
You read my mind because I've got a really good tip for someone who has a lot of email and, like me, has got a really bad memory and can't remember the status of a particular email. So I've got a lot of emails in my inbox. Some of them I've replied to. And for me, I like to know when I replied to it and kind of whose court the ball is in, for example, or, you know, something about it so that I can just quickly check and think, oh, okay, that one doesn't need actioning. That one's kind of there, you know, the ball's in their court, or it doesn't need thinking about until next Wednesday or something. So yeah, when I go to an email in Outlook, I shift F10 to bring up the thingamabob list. That's a technical term.
Love that.
U for follow up, then C for custom. And a custom flag gives you a text box, and you can write a little message in there, or quite a long one. And you can describe exactly what you want to remember about that email. And then next time it'll say custom flag when you arrow onto it. And then do the same hotkeys again, shift F10, U, C, and you can read your little status report. And that, for me, keeps me sane.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That's quite clever. Well done.
Because, you know, when I thought about doing this feature today, I thought, first of all, it's a great therapy session for me, but actually, you know, we might get something out of it. And we did.
There you go.
Well, look, we're going to move on because there's other things to talk about this week, but... I wanted to bring that up because I think it's important. I feel that a lot of people are, you know, despite government people, and I won't name names, but government people generally saying things like, working from home, yeah, you're all just sitting at home doing nothing. Yeah, we're not. Really not. And I think people who are working from home are probably working harder than they've ever worked in their lives to keep up with what they're doing. There are always those people in the office, though, I think, that love to... you know, play it up a little bit. You know, the ones that are like, oh, I'm so busy, I couldn't possibly. Hang on, I'll just turn this morning down. You know, I think you've got to get a balance. You know, we've got to get a balance. You can't work people to death on this stuff, you know. You've got to find your way. But organisation does seem to be the key, that's for sure. Anyway, look, I want to focus in on a new feature of JAWS that we haven't talked about yet on Tech Talk. I think we've maybe given some passing mention of it along the way, but I thought it'd be interesting to get the views of this and also how it works as well. This is, I'm dreading to say the word because I know Minds is listening. The word is Sharky. Oh, that's good. Nothing's happened.
Well done.
But yeah, this is the new voice assistant that's been built into JAWS 2021. Now, there's lots of different opinions about this, lots of different feelings about it. But look, we're just going to show you how it works. Mohammed Atif from the Technology for Life team to explain more.
Hello. Today I want to talk about JAWS for Windows screen reading software, and in particular the virtual assistant that is now built into JAWS. This virtual assistant isn't available on all versions of JAWS. You can only get it if you've got the latest version, which is version 2021. This was released in November 2020 and can be downloaded as an executable file from the relevant websites, Sight and Sound or Freedom Scientific. The developers of JAWS must have thought, you know, all these keyboard commands that people have to remember, all the touch gestures that people have to remember on their tablet or their Windows laptop with a touch screen, all these things, you know, combination of keys, two or three more, you know, using two hands. Why not integrate a voice assistant into the screen reading software that we all know and love? So if you're a JAWS for Windows screen reading software user previously, you will know that JAWS provides speech output to various applications or from various applications, giving you information such as emails, documents, web pages, files, etc., etc., which you can also have output on a refreshable Braille display. Now, what JAWS for Windows also includes is a voice assistant. Just like Siri, Google, Alexa, Cortana, this can be operated by giving a code word to JAWS and using a microphone that is connected to your computer or integrated, and it will go away and perform different tasks for you, whatever you ask. So bringing up a list of links on a web page, or knowing what the time is, or bringing up the JAWS settings, for example. The virtual assistant can be activated by holding down the JAWS key, which could be the insert key or the caps lock key, depending on your keyboard layout, and holding down J. This will bring you to the JAWS window. Then you need to, from there, activate the utilities menu, which you can do by holding down the Alt key and pressing U. And the first option in the menu is Virtual Assistant. And you can enter into that. And when you do, there is a switch or a checkbox which you need to enter on to activate the Jaws Assistant. The Jaws Assistant can be activated two ways. So when you have this enabled, you can hold down the Jaws key, the Alt key, and the Space key together. That's a layered keystroke. And you can then give a command using the microphone on your PC or laptop. When you do that, it'll go away and give you an audible hint and then bring back the answer or whatever question you've asked or whatever setting you've asked for within Jaws. The Jaws Assistant uses internet protocol. So, for example, it sends the information that you've inputted through the microphone to a server and brings back the answer. You can also use this code word, which we'll come to in a minute. In the first instance, what I'm going to do as a quick demonstration is show you how this works. I'm going to hold down the Jaws key on my PC and the Alt key and the space bar together. I'll hear an audible hint. After the audible hint, I will give a command, and then I'll hear another audible hint to say or to signify that Jaws has stopped listening and my question will be answered. So here goes. What time is it?
14:28.
Excellent. Let's try. Tell me a joke.
What charges a Mac computer? Apple juice.
Brilliant. Right, let's try now using the code word. And the code word is Sharky. So here we go. What time is it?
14:28.
Sharky. Open settings.
Add new configuration dash add new config.
So that's going to open up settings and give me all the options. So all these things can be done by keyboard commands, but now can also be done using voice commands. And you know, I said you can do this on a website as well or in a document. So for example, you could ask, if you've just written a document, for example, you can ask Sharky to basically give you all the spelling mistakes within that document as well. So what I'm going to do is go onto the website that I've got uploaded here.
rnib-c-differently-google-chrome.
This is the RNIB website, and I'm running Google Chrome. So I'm going to say, Sharky, display links. Sometimes this can happen where Sharky doesn't respond. So let's try again. Sharky. No, I think he's gone to sleep. Let's try again. Sharky. Display links.
Links list dialog. Links list view. Skip to content. 1 of 66.
And there you go. There's our links list dialog box. I'm going to escape out of there.
Escape.
And try another command. Sharky. Display headings.
Heading list dialog. Headings list view. Welcome to RNIB colon 1. 1 of 23.
And there you go. There are your headings. So again,
escape.
I can get specific settings for specific applications. Now I'm in Google Chrome. What I'm going to do is ask Sharky to open up the settings for Google Chrome. Sharky, open settings.
Chrome-Jaws Settings Center dialog. Search box edit. Control plus E.
And there you go. They are my settings in Google Chrome, for example. So this application, Jaws for Windows, can be used now as quite a robust system in terms of either getting speech output or braille output from applications, performing OCR on documents that are, say for example, scanned documents that are inaccessible with Jaws at face value, if you like. So you can then scan that document, have it OCR'd, which means Octopus Character Recognition, and then read back to you. And now you have this extra voice assistant, which is still a work in progress, I would say, but it's there. It's available and it works. So Sharky is the code word, Jaws key, Alt and spacebar is the keyboard command. And you know, the millions of keyboard commands that you had to remember and go to the quick reference and stuff like that, you don't have to do that anymore because you can tell Sharky what you want to do. So let's say Sharky commands.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
So if it doesn't understand or doesn't hear what you say, it will just say, "I sorry, I didn't catch that." You can adjust your settings as well. So for example, I can say, "Sharky, faster." Didn't pick it up. Let's try again. "Sharky, speak faster."
Faster.
Try that again. "Sharky, speak faster." Okay, that's considerably fast. So let's try slowing it down again. "Sharky, slower."
Slower.
And some more. "Sharky, slower."
Slower.
And these are just some of the voice commands that you can give Jaws for Windows. Zoom Text also has a feature built in where you've got voice assistants, and that one is called Zoomy. And both of these applications can be downloaded as trial periods if you don't already have them. And if you do have them, they can be activated straight away with a license key. And also, this feature is already built in version 2021 of Jaws for Windows. And just to finish on quite a fun note, let's ask Sharky to tell us a joke. Why not? "Sharky, tell me a joke."
"What do you get when you cross a parrot with a shark? An animal that talks your head off."
Brilliant. Fantastic. So that feature is there. It's ready to use and it's quite brilliant. It's still a work in progress, but with regular updates, you will be able to, obviously, it will advance and you'll be able to use that more and more, I would say. One note I would say, it's very important if you do get a notification to upgrade your Jaws or update your Jaws for Windows, always choose yes. It has bug fixes, security updates, all that kind of thing. So it's really, really good, really useful and recommended that you update your Jaws for Windows and keep all your software up to date, I would say. If you have any questions on this or anything else technology-wise, please feel free to drop us a line at the R&IB Technology for Life team via our helpline. Our telephone number is 0303 123 9999. If you have access to email, you can email your inquiry. Make sure to include your contact details so we can get back to you. Our email address is TFL, that's Technology for Life, TFL@rnib.org.uk. Thank you.
Well, thank you. What a fantastic feature of Jaws. And it's interesting, guys, as I bring in Robin, Andy and Sean again here. You know, it's funny because we listen to that and we think, it's a bit simple, isn't it? It's a bit basic. But if you're just new to Jaws, this could be brilliant, because that's the thing. When I was learning, I could really have done with something like this, something I could just turn around to and say, how do I do this? Or what's the command for that? And it would hopefully give me that response.
It's funny. I mean, a few years ago, I would have been super excited about this. Like, it's the we're living in the future. but we, you know, can talk to lots of devices now. I do really like it, though, still. I would say, though, and this would work with any version of Jaws that you've got, the Jaws quick command search is your friend. That will find every single thing that Jaws can do. So that's insert space, J. Do that, you'll get a pop-up search box, type in anything you want, and that command will be in a list below. And when you get to the one you want, just hit enter. It will also tell you what the keystroke is so that you can kind of try and remember it for next time. But we can't keep all the commands in our head, so
no.
Insert space then J is a really easy way to
yeah,
get
you
to
can. Yeah, how are you getting on with yours there, Sean? Is it still so good you're using NVDA?
NVDA. Hey, NVDA. I'm waiting for the voice assistant there. That'd be cool. But no, you're absolutely right. The thing with this is, yes, I must admit, I thought, that's a bit of a gimmick, isn't it, surely? But it's another way to interface with it, right? Robin, about your insert space J thing there, absolutely true, great. But then again, if you're talking to someone who's completely new to a computer or Jaws, you know, even trying to explain the keyboard shortcuts can be a stumbling block. Not always, but it can be. And having this other way of saying, you know what, actually, just use the voice assistant and it will get you started. Another way to interact with it is always a good thing. And this is just the start. It's just beginning. You know, who knows where this could go? This could get really cool.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is very exciting. It is new to this. You know, it's new to Jaws. It is definitely in development. But yeah, I think it's a great thing. I must admit, I didn't know Insert Space J was a thing. So I'm going to be checking that out. I did not know that. There you go. So this show is an endless education for me.
I must admit, I haven't tried Sharky because it wasn't, you know, I thought I'm going to park that one until, you know. But if it's forgiving in, basically, if you have to remember the exact wording for its commands, then you're almost back to square one, really.
Well, that's the other side of it, yeah.
But if it's really forgiving in, you know, you can pretty much have a stab at saying, I don't know, read to the end of the document or something, then yeah, that's brilliant. But if you have to learn a certain syntax, then that's not going to be great.
Okay, let's move on.
News from the internet.
Yeah, lots of news. One story in particular, I wanted to get to the AI backpack. I might save that to next week, though, because this is a bizarre story about a backpack that could help blind pedestrians. I don't know what I think about that, to be honest. But okay, a backpack that's going to help us. All right. Look, I think we'll save that.
Put it on the front, and then if you walk into anything, then...
you'll just say, ouch. That's it. It'll just go, ow! And then you know you've walked into something, if in case you've no idea.
Mocks you. Haha, you didn't see that tree there.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That would be,
that already.
That would be hilarious, yeah. Yeah, we could humans for that. We don't need AI to help. But okay, let's move on, because there is another story I wanted to focus on this week, and I'll be interested to hear people's views on as well, and that is the upgrade to the RNIB library, in particular, the Braille library. There have been some updates. Now, Toby Davey from RNIB Connect Radio has been talking to Dave Williams from RNIB to find out about what those changes are and what they mean for Braille readers going forward.
Braille library readers will be familiar with our collection of books. And what is going to happen? From April 2021, you'll start to receive your books as slimmer, lighter volumes. So more books now will be produced in the kind of A4 form factor, and the books themselves will be lighter and easier to handle. So that's important for people with reduced dexterity, for children, or for anybody who has difficulty in handling, you know, the larger, heavier books. Traditionally, Braille books were huge. And what we want to do is to produce books that you can take with you, maybe in a school bag, or that are easier to store at home, or just easier to kind of handle around the house. So from April 2021, you'll start to receive these new books automatically.
Why has the RNIB made these changes to the Braille library?
Well, a number of reasons. One is that our existing collection, which dates back many, many years, more and more of the books we're finding are in significant disrepair. You know, you don't have to send the book through the post too many times in Braille before it, you know, starts to fall apart. Also, many of the books in our collection are in old Braille codes, which isn't taught anymore, particularly for children and new Braille readers. There's also a consideration around hygiene as well, that in the last year, you know, I think we've all become more aware of hygiene issues. And I know that some of the books that we get back to the library are not always in tip-top condition. So what we're doing is producing Braille books on demand, which will mean the copy you receive will be freshly produced, be pristine Braille, no squash dots, hopefully, and that the books will be, you'll be the first person to read them. So you know, you're not having a book that is perhaps going to smell of somebody else's house, or, you know, maybe he's had something spilt on it or anything like that. So those are the main reasons for the change. Longer term, we hope that the new Braille on demand service as part of the Braille library membership will offer you access to a wider range of books. So in our existing collection, for example, there are around 20,000 titles currently, but in our RNIB Bookshare collection, there are hundreds of thousands of titles, and it is our aim longer term to enable Braille library users to access that greater range of books.
That part of a longer interview with Toby Davey you can find on the RNIB Connect podcast, where Dave Williams talks to Toby about the changes to the RNIB Braille library and gets into more detail on all that. So do check out that podcast. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we're seeing a move towards a better access to Braille, and I think this is a better way to access it. You know, you still get the book on demand, printed freshly. It is recyclable, which is important. A4 is interesting because, you know, it was never A4, was it? So it's always a bit weird, and a lot of people have been commenting on that online. I think it's certainly better. I remember the old Braille books. I mean, at that time I didn't read books. I got, it was even worse, I think, for us who were low vision, because I used to get mine A3. So I'd have an A3 book. So the entire book would be, you know, A3 in some cases, and it would be bound up. And you had to get that. And sometimes each book maybe be 3 or 4 volumes of it. And, you know, going to, no wonder I had hernias when I was growing up, because, you know, carrying all this stuff around from class to class was an absolute nightmare.
It is, though. It weighs so much. It's so large. I can't see a downside to this, to be honest. I
know, and you can get them on Braille displays as well, like the Orbit Reader, you know.
Well, I mean, isn't that the aim of everything? I mean, that makes for delivery, for availability. That seems to be the way to go. Of course, then there's the argument of, well, not everyone's got a Braille display, of course. So, I mean, that would be ideal, but this seems like a good step towards that. And I don't feel like you're losing anything. I always remember when I was at Royal National College for the Blind in the 80s, it was like Hell's Angels when you used to get the Braille class coming through, because they had those cast iron Perkins and everyone was jumping out of the way because he was just swaving through you, because the materials are so vast. So yeah, it seems like a good idea to me, a good move.
Can I just tell you, if a Brailler, a Perkins Brailler, you know, I've often done this test on my show where I talk about, you know, how many toes would break. I think you'd have an entire foot destroyed by a Perkins Brailler if it fell on your foot. These things are tough. I remember dropping one out of a taxi once, and I think the taxi got more damage at the side of it than the actual Brailler.
Like a tank.
The Brailler was fine, absolutely fine. Let's move on. It's time for these. We haven't done these for a while.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Every day.
Here's your mail today.
Yeah, let's get into the email inbox. We didn't get to it last week. We had our Year in Lockdown special, which if you haven't listened to yet, you should go back and listen to. We had Madeline and Ben here from the Technology for Life team. It was a really interesting conversation. But let's get back to the inbox this week. Let's not neglect those emails. Andy, what's been coming in this week?
Hi, guys. I really enjoyed your discussion of making Clubhouse accessible for more people, which is, of course, a good thing. But do you mind if I play devil's advocate for a second and say that the unique selling point of Clubhouse seems to be that it is audio only? And if we make it accessible to deaf people, do we not lose that? Saying that, though, I do agree with you. Hearing you talk about privacy reminded me a whole lot of things around WhatsApp sharing more data with Facebook and hearing people talking about leaving that app. And I just thought, well, it's probably a bit too late now. But I did sign up for Wire, even though I've only been able to convince two of my friends to come over. And one final point, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like Callum, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, was implying that because we're on Facebook and or Twitter, that we shouldn't care about privacy. I'm sure that's not what you meant, but if it is, can I ask why? Thanks. That's an email from Will.
I don't remember that part of the conversation, I must admit. But you should care about privacy, absolutely. But I think it's that maybe the suggestion was, maybe if you're on there, you're not considering it perhaps as much as you should be. I think that would be certainly the way I would say that if I was asked, because I think, you know, ultimately privacy is key on all these apps. You've got to be thinking about it. A lot of people don't. They just dive in, start using them, and we don't really pay any attention. We're just so used now to, you know, saying yes to the terms and conditions. It's like, yeah, we'll come and take your house in 2 weeks if you don't, you know, give us all your details. Just let me in. I want access to this. I want to hear what everyone else is up to. But Clubhouse is interesting because, you know, that's a really interesting point about, you know, do we take what is good about Clubhouse away by trying to make it more accessible? I think not. I think we just enhance it, don't we? I mean, we just make it better. Anybody who doesn't want to make it more accessible to more people, that's crazy to me. Of course, I want everybody to enjoy these apps. And I think you can do it by just building it into the app. Other providers are managing it. Twitter Spaces, I think, have managed to make their a service fully accessible to more people, including captioning and all that. The question might be for deaf people, how good is the captioning? That might be a big issue.
I think it's a case of, it's not audio only, it's just that the visuals aren't playing the major role. So it doesn't matter, you know, we're not going off someone's appearance. We're listening to what they're saying. Now, maybe that's audio in the case of Clubhouse, but having that captioned also, I don't think, takes away from what people are saying. It's more that it's not about what you look like or, you know, appearance. It's not about the visuals with Clubhouse, but that doesn't mean it's audio only. Or am I being a bit too...
I think there's a principle at stake here, and the principle is reasonable adjustment. And that's at the core of everything to do with, you know, leveling the playing field in education, in the workplace, etc., in legislation. So, you know, if you start cherry picking to say, well, you know, yeah, we could apply adjustments that are perfectly reasonable to, you know, this or that or the other, but, you know, is it right? That's a slippery slope, I think. So I don't think it's for us to say necessarily which one is right or wrong. If it can be adjusted and we have the technology and, you know, ideally it could be built in, like Sean was saying, then it should be. It should be done.
Yeah, because I often think if it was the other way around, if it was a visual medium, I think about Instagram in this case, right? When Instagram came along, I remember saying to a lot of my friends, oh, I'll never be on Instagram because it's not accessible to me. It's just a bunch of pictures. What is of interest to me? Now, the thing is, that is the position that deaf people are in with Clubhouse. They just don't have the option here. So, yep. You know, if it was the other side of the coin, we'd be like, hey, come on, make this accessible. You know, alt tag your images so we know what we're looking at. You know, deaf people just want the same on their side. So, you know, we should absolutely have that. It shouldn't. The problem is sometimes I think that our communities can sometimes clash. And I think that's a problem. We do have issues where, you know, the disabled community seem to end up fighting with each other. And that doesn't help the conversation. It doesn't get the conversation out of the bubble either, which is important. No. We've got to stop that to some degree because there's no point fighting among ourselves. We all want the same thing. And no one disability should trump the other. You know, we shouldn't play those top trumps games. We really shouldn't be doing that. We all have our, you know, our requirements, whatever they may be. And, you know, everybody should be allowed access in some form. So it's not up to... We shouldn't fight about it. What we should do is try and get into these companies. And I know there are people who are working with Clubhouse and really pushing, you know, positively to try and say, look, let's engage with these companies. Let's not start fighting with them. Let's engage positively. We've seen that work already with the accessibility of the app, groups going in there and saying, look, let's talk you through how we could make this more accessible. The developers are actually sitting down and saying, do you know what? Okay, let's do this. Because bear in mind, they probably didn't even think, they probably don't. We've got to remember, and I, you know, it sounds so defeatist and it sounds so ridiculous to say, but people don't think about disability. I know it's 2021 and we're all supposed to be so woke, right? And like on everything and know everything, but people don't. I don't know everything there is to know about being deaf. I don't know what it's like to be in a wheelchair. I don't know what it's like to live life with cancer. So, you know, I can't sit here and say I know everything about this and therefore that's the case. It's and people don't consider these things initially. But the question is, once you do know about it, once you have been told, what are you doing about it? Because if you're doing nothing at that point, then I've got an issue.
Yeah. It's all about the response, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and if it was and I sometimes wish, and I feel everyone's on the back foot all the time, you know, because it's like, you know, Twitter will just rip you to shreds or Facebook will rip you to shreds if you get something wrong. We've got to give people a chance here. You know, I would love for some of these companies to turn around and say, I don't have a clue about this. Can you help? And, yeah. You know, then the communities should at that point say, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. Instead of, well, what do you don't understand, so therefore you don't know. Don't get me started. But yeah, we've got to stop fighting about this. Make love, not inaccessibility. Is that a thing? I don't know. No, that's not right.
Now, I'm getting that on a T-shirt.
Make love, not inaccessibility. That's never going to... That's it's too big for a T-shirt.
Not my T-shirts.
Right, Andy, let's get another email in.
Hello, Tech Talk team. A couple of years ago, I had to buy myself a new PC. I was amazed at how easy it was for me as a blind person to set it up from scratch. Narrator was pretty good then and has improved a lot since. However, it was good enough then to allow me to install NVDA. Mm. As it was a weekend, I found that I had a couple of days to wait until I could get my JAWS authorization code, so I was running with the free screen readers and I was able to do most of what I wanted to do. I was actually tempted not to bother with JAWS. As I already had a JAWS license, I got my code and I would have happily run JAWS on the machine. However, had this been my first PC, I am sure I would have not have paid for JAWS, a program which would have cost me more than the price of the machine. Both NVDA and Narrator are certainly able to do all that I want. Had I not had the good fortune to have my work JAWS license transferred over to me when I retired, I would have probably now have NVDA as my screen reader of choice. For anyone buying a PC for home use, I would find it hard to advise buying JAWS as their screen reader. That's an email from Ian.
Well, yeah, I will say this. I turned off JAWS the other day, and even today when I was doing all the email work I was doing, I actually switched JAWS off and went on with Narrator. I don't know if
we were on a call earlier and I said, is that Narrator? That's really responsive. And you were using that super amazing human sounding voice as well.
Oh, that wasn't the superhuman amazing voice. That was just your basic regular Microsoft, whatever it is, voice. But
it sounded good.
No, it was, it is. I'm really impressed. And, you know, there are, I keep thinking to myself, I'm going to come up against a hurdle that means I won't be able to use it, or I'll think, oh, I need JAWS here. And I'm not finding it at the moment. You know, that's my problem. And I know I say that and I'll get a million emails from people saying, don't down JAWS. And I'm not downing JAWS.
Nope.
I'm just saying I'm a very basic user, if I'm honest. I use my emails. I, you know, occasionally jumping into the odd Excel spreadsheet, although I will admit Excel is much better with JAWS, hands down. That's one area where, you know, once you start getting a bit more technical, in any way, you know, even on Word, if you're, you know, starting to add tables and do other really productivity tasks, then yes, JAWS does come into its own. I guess NVDA does as well. But, you know, Narrator for just basic getting around, web browsing, you know, doing my documents, my Word documents, I'm using Outlook, Notepad, and a web browser. I mean, I'm hardly a power user by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, Narrator does the job fine. And yes, setting up a PC from scratch, I reset mine the other week, remember telling you guys, I reset it and all the way through the process, Narrator stayed on. And I was amazed. I thought it would, you know, I'd have to go and switch it on. I didn't. It was already there. Maybe because I already had it on before I did the reset. I don't know. But just really, really powerful. It works really, really well. So anyway, look, we're almost out of time. As always, what's new, eh? But keep your emails coming in. We will get to more next week. We'll be focusing on a few more emails. I also want to get that story out about the AI backpack. This is quite a story. We'll talk about that next week. Also, we'll have more from the Technology for Life team as well. We're talking about Google Lookout. You might have heard of this app. It's a free app that you can download if you're on an Android phone. Still on Pixel phones, Sean, or is it on... All
I think it's on everywhere now.
Is
yeah,
it?
I think it's available for any Android.
Robin, Andy, Sean, thank you guys.
Cheers.
Catch you next time.